Last time I was up here, we finished our about 15-month journey through 1 Corinthians. One way we seek to do justice to God's Word, to submit to God's Word, is to let the writer of the book of the Bible and the Holy Spirit who inspired the writer set the pace. When the writer spends a long time on a topic, we know we should too. And when the writer is teaching truth that is difficult to grasp, we slow down and we think hard. For me, it is a big thing to start a new journey through a book of the Bible. It is a bit intimidating. I know that I am responsible before you and before God to lay before us the meaning and the significance of every part of the book that we are working through. So when we finish a journey through a book of the Bible, I feel like we have run a marathon. And I like a little break, a little change of pace before we start another book, which will be 1 Timothy. But first, a pause to catch our breath. What I feel led to share today feels a bit like the classic first assignment of a new school year, what I did on my summer vacation. But this is what God has shown me in His Word this summer. And I hope that this will also help set the stage for our Wednesday evening Bible study discipleship sessions, which, as Leo shared, will be on the disciplines of the Christian life: Bible, prayer, fellowship, etc., etc. How do we live a life with God that brings glory to Him and joy to us? How do we walk with God? That is something of the heart of what our Wednesday evenings will be this year, as well as the morning study. I suspect that walking with God, walking faithfully, walking obediently, walking worshipfully, is never far from the daily thoughts and desires of every one of us, of every Christian. And it can be as simple as, where are you in the Word these days? Or how is your prayer life? Or what has the Lord been teaching you lately? Or how has the Lord been blessing you lately? If you asked me any of those questions, this sermon will cover a big part of my answer. Today I want to talk about Psalm 119 and how it is impacting and enriching my walk with the Lord. Psalm 119. So, what do we all know right off the bat about Psalm 119? It is long. It is really long. Ever since it was written and then recognized by Israel as sacred scripture, God's people have been noticing this unique psalm and paying attention to it. It is, of course, the longest psalm. It is, of course, the longest chapter of the Bible. Also, Psalm 119 is an acrostic built on the Hebrew alphabet. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. So there are 22 sections of Psalm 119. And in any section, the first word in Hebrew, of course, the first word of each verse starts with the right letter for that section. For example, the first Hebrew letter is Aleph. So in the first 8-verse section, each verse starts with the letter Aleph. And this structure obviously helped Israelites memorize the entire psalm. So Psalm 119 is long, it is an acrostic, and it is about the Word of God. And the psalm uses several different words to describe different aspects of God's Word. Law, testimonies, ways, precepts, commandments, rules, statutes, word, words, promise. And each word has a different nuance of meaning, but they blend together like facets of a diamond to show the beauty and the value of the Word of God. This is the psalm we turn to in order to reflect upon the wonder and the glory of God's Word. Next week, we'll be in Psalm 119 again, and we will pay attention to these many words that the psalmist uses to describe the Word of God. Psalm 119 is about trusting, obeying, rejoicing in, and submitting to the Word of God. The writer, who is not named, is doing those things, and by example, he is calling us to join him. One thing that has hit me this summer is Psalm 119 is not written like a theology book. The Psalms are heart cries to God. They are cries to God from a believing heart. Psalm 119 is a poem. It's not an article. It's a song. It's not an essay. It is worship. It's not a textbook. The psalmist is aiming for more than just book learning in the lives of us, his readers. Let's read the first section, the Aleph section. It will give us a feel for the entire psalm. And I promise we are not going verse by verse through the whole psalm. But I want you to notice a couple of things as I read this. First, notice the words used for the Word of God. Each verse uses a word to refer to the Word. And then notice that the first three verses, verses 1-3, are statements of fact. They are declarations of truth, and the writer is speaking directly to us readers. But then notice that the last five verses of this section, verses 4-8, are words that the psalmist speaks directly to the Lord. In verses 4-8, he's not talking directly to us readers. He's talking to the Lord. So verses 1-8 of Psalm 119. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. I just want to make real sure that you are noticing the difference between an assertion, a statement of fact spoken to us. So humor me. Let's read verses 1-3 again, spoken directly to us. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. He's just stating facts for us. for us. And then notice that the rest of the section is the psalmist directly addressing the Lord. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. So in verses 4 through 8, it is obvious, isn't it, that he is talking to directly to the Lord, because he says you and your in each verse. And what do we call our activity of talking directly to the Lord? Prayer. This was the first way that the psalm captured me this summer. I really enjoyed praying it. Praying it inspires my love for God and my love for His Word. And I found the prayers to be so meaningful and so powerful that I started writing out sections of the Psalms, of Psalm 119, in my little makeshift day timer that I carry everywhere. I've got 7 or 8 sections of Psalm 119 written in here. Writing out the Bible helps me get it into my head, and then having it close at hand to read it and pray it, I have found so helpful. And what struck me so strongly, and this was a big insight for me, what struck me is that the psalm has to be seen as more than merely an essay about the Word of God. Here are some descriptions of Psalm 119 that occurred to me this summer, and I jotted down in my little book. Psalm 119 is a handbook for the Christian life. It is marching orders for daily Christian living. It is a portrait of the Christian heart. It is an everyday prayer book, and that's what it is becoming for me. I think all these are helpful and, I think, accurate descriptions of this unique psalm. And the entire psalm highlights for us the centrality of the Word of God in the Christian life. The Word of God is vital in the Christian life. And I'll call that the second punch of the 1-2 punch that hit me this summer. Punch number one, Psalm 119 is an everyday prayer book. And punch number two, as a prayer book, as a handbook of the Christian life, Psalm 119 will not let us forget the centrality and the authority of the Word of God in our daily lives. Now, here is something that really amazed me. I wanted to see how much of Psalm 119 is actually written as direct address to God. How many verses are spoken to God rather than to us readers? So I printed out the psalm, and every place the psalmist says you or your to the Lord, I bolded the you or the your. Now, we've already seen that verses 1 to 3 are not spoken directly to God. They are spoken to us readers as statements of fact. So now we've got 3 verses at least that are not spoken directly to the Lord. Do you know that I discovered there is only one other verse in the whole psalm that is not spoken directly to the Lord? And it's verse 115, which says, "Depart from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commandments of my God." He breaks his pattern of speaking to God, and he speaks to evildoers in this one verse. So, of the 176 verses in Psalm 119, 172 of them are spoken directly to the Lord. Only verses 1 to 3 and verse 115 break that pattern. And a fun fact, of the 172 verses spoken directly to the Lord, only one verse does not have you or your in the verse, and that is verse 121, where the psalmist says, I have done what is just and right. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Now, this verse, the psalmist is speaking directly to the Lord, obviously, but it's the only verse that doesn't include the word you and or the word your. Now, all of that is to say something very simple and very obvious, but I'm extremely excited about it. This is simply to say that in Psalm 119, the psalmist is praying, and he invites us to use his words as we pray. Now, I sure don't want to leave the impression that this is the only psalm for us to pray. Every psalm is meant for us to pray. And for that matter, the entire Bible is to be read and meditated upon and prayed back to God. But I would say, if you want to get your feet wet in praying Scripture, Psalm 119 is a good place to start. Now, as we think of Psalm 119 as a prayer book for the Christian life, I want to show you what I see as I look more closely just at the first five sections, the first 40 verses. I decided that this week I could do justice to paying attention to 40 verses. And as I read them, I was looking for categories or topics of what the psalmist is saying to the Lord, and I see five prayer topics, five broad topics of the psalmist's prayers to the Lord, and I want to share those with you, these five prayer topics. First, the psalmist tells the Lord that he loves his word, that he loves God's word. I love your word, Lord. I found five verses in the first 40 verses that say that, and I'll share two of them. Verse 14, in the way of your testimonies I delight, as much as in riches. And verse 40, behold, I long for your precepts. In your righteousness give me life. And I'm sure you know that if we were to venture beyond the first 40 verses, we'd come to verse 97, which simply says, oh, how I love your law. So that's one prayer topic in Psalm 119. Lord, I love your word. Second, the psalmist tells the Lord that he is committed to God's word. And I found six verses in the first 40 where the psalmist is saying something to the effect of being committed to God's word, and I'll share two of them. Verse 11, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And verse 30, I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. These are prayers of commitment to God's word. And these are much like the prayers of commitment that we Christians are often led to pray. So this is a second prayer topic in Psalm 119. Lord, I am committed to your word. Third, the psalmist talks about the rewards of God's word. And I found in the first 40 verses, nine verses talk about rewards for reading, loving, and obeying God's word. And we've already seen that verses 1 and 2 are rewards for obeying God's word. Verses 1 and 2, blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. Blessedness is a reward of obeying God's word. And verse 9 is a well-known verse telling us that a life of purity is its own reward. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. This is the third prayer topic. Lord, I seek the rewards of obeying your word. The psalmist's fourth prayer topic is what the psalmist knows about God's own attitude toward his word. He tells the Lord in verse 4, "You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently." That's how God feels about his word. That's his attitude toward his word. And the psalmist knows God's attitude toward those who disobey God's word. It's verse 21. "You rebuke the insolent, accursed ones who wander from your commandments." So prayer topic number 4, Lord, I submit to your own attitude toward your word. So again, here are the first 4 prayer topics that I've noticed in Psalm 119. Lord, I love your word. Lord, I am committed to your word. Lord, I seek the rewards of obeying your word. Lord, I submit to your own attitude toward your word. And there is a 5th prayer topic. And in the first 40 verses, I count 17 verses as being in this 5th category. And this is the most common prayer. And I sum it up this way. Lord, help me to love and obey your word. Help me is my way of summarizing many different heart cries to the Lord, such as, let me not wander. Open my eyes. Make me understand. Incline my heart. These and more, I would sum up in the sentence, in the prayer sentence, Lord, help me to love and obey your word. Let me read you 7 of these heart cries for God to help us to love and obey his word. Again, I'm only working with the first 40 verses today. And I'll just share a little comment after each of these verses. Verse 10, with my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. He is acknowledging that only by God's grace can we keep walking in God's commandments. Without God's grace, without God's help, we will wander from God's commandments. Verse 17, deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. He is crying out to God for bountiful grace so that he will be able to keep God's word. Verse 18, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. As God enables the eyes of our heart to see, we will be in awe of God's law, and we will love it. Verse 27, make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. As God gives us understanding, our meditation on his works will bear fruit in our lives. Verse 28, my soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. In times of sorrow, God strengthens us through the instrument of his word. verse 34. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. God gives us understanding of his law, and he fires our desire for his law so that we will obey it with our whole heart. And verse 36, incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. As we read the Bible, we are trusting God to work, and he does work in our heart. This is one of many verses declaring that God works love in our hearts for his word. These verses and many more say, Lord, help me to love and obey your word. We need God's grace if we are to love and obey him, and we need God's grace if we are to love and obey his word. Only by God's grace do we become a Christian, and only by God's grace do we live as a Christian. Only by God's grace do we get saved and stay saved and grow in holiness. Our salvation and our daily life as saved people is all of grace. Nothing we do as Christians, nothing we do as Christians will glorify God if we are depending on our own strength and our own wisdom. Only by God's grace working in and through us do our works glorify God. If we try to serve God in our own wisdom and in our own strength, we only glorify ourselves. Hearing the psalmist's constant heart cry, Lord, help me to love and obey your word, is exactly in line with the New Testament's teaching on living the Christian life by grace through faith. Becoming new creatures in Christ includes the gift of a new heart, a heart that loves God. Our new heart and the indwelling Holy Spirit prompt a growing love for God and an ongoing dependence upon God. Knowing that we must live by God's grace, we certainly know that we should ask for God's grace. And Psalm 119 is full of Holy Spirit-inspired words for us to pray as we ask for God's grace. I'm thrilled to observe that the biggest prayer topic in Psalm 119 is, Lord, help me to love and obey your word. Psalm 119 is a 176-verse prayer that the Lord would keep us walking with him in obedience to his word. I intend to be praying the words of Psalm 119 for quite some time. And it is from this heart posture of trusting in God's grace that the other prayers of Psalm 119 can flow. Lord, I love your word. Lord, I am committed to your word. Lord, I seek the rewards of obeying your word. Lord, I submit to your own attitude toward your word. Let's pray about it. Lord, help us to love and obey your word. And as you work in our life during our regular daily time in the word, Lord, we trust that these other prayers would grow and grow in our hearts, in our lives, that we would be saying with with new feeling and new depth of meaning. Lord, I love your word. Lord, I am committed to your word. Lord, I seek the rewards of obeying your word. Lord, I submit to your own attitude toward your own word. Oh, Lord, keep growing us. Thank you for our precious salvation, which above and beyond all other salvation blessings is, we have you as our Father, and you have us as your children. And let us cultivate even this coming ministry year that we will walk together and enjoy together. We pray that we would all together cultivate a closer walk with you and a more focused and disciplined and joyful life in your precious word, living according to your commandments and precepts. We are yours and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Blessed are those who keep his testimony, who seek him with their whole heart. Amen.